Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's going on? It's Ryan. Welcome to another episode of the Best of the DA Show here. Today, our cold open, Northwestern's poor wardrobe choices, and how their interim head coach made some questionable decisions in a press conference. We have your best audio of the day in soundcheck. Also, the crew celebrates Thirsty Thursday. On top of that, Peter Schwartz had an all-time epic fail with his stun to a news. You just got to listen to it, and here we go.
We begin this morning in Evanston, Illinois, where Northwestern staff members, some of them, made a poor choice for yesterday's practice ensemble. And then acting head coach David Braun, a poor choice of words in defending or choosing not to address said shirts. It is where we begin. It's your cold open.
Certainly isn't my business to censor anyone's free speech.
You mentioned you have a level of understanding how many people have been affected by what happened here. And wearing those shirts to many seems a little tone deaf.
Again, you know, all my energy and intention is going in to make sure that this staff and these players feel like they have a head coach that's got their best interests at the forefront of his mind, and that we're structuring practice and meetings and support to ensure that. Again, I have not put any of that energy into considering the potential of censoring someone's free speech. There's a lot of emotional energy and a lot of emotions that are going on, and it's at the end of the day, I'm responsible for the 103 young men in that locker room and making sure that their well-being is at the forefront of my mind.
Athletic Director Derek Gragg releasing this statement, reading in part, "Neither I nor the university was aware that they owned or would wear these shirts today. The shirts are inappropriate, offensive, and tone deaf. Let me be crystal clear. Hazing has no place at Northwestern, and we are committed to do whatever is necessary to address hazing-related issues."
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
All right, so let's begin with the shirts. The shirts in question that a handful of staff members wore on the practice field yesterday said, "Cats against the world," or "Cats against everybody." Cats against the world. That was right the first time. And it had Pat Fitzgerald's name and number on it, the former head coach fired amid the hazing scandal the school is just really beginning to handle and process. More lawsuits are filed almost every single day. We learn more details. We get confirmation of other details. Something happened. And that's indisputable at this point, that something in the last decade plus, things happened at Northwestern, things that should not have happened, how bad they were, who knew and ignored it, who didn't know and should have known. Those are the questions that we are trying to figure out, and also maybe don't have final answers to all of them. It's a very complicated situation. It goes back years. So many people were involved. There's a lot to weed through. But the bottom line is things happened. Bad things happened. Inappropriate things happened. Things that should not have happened. Things that affected people in ways they should not have to deal with. That's indisputable now. One person has lost his job. My assumption is others will lose their job after this season. David Braun, because Papachero lost his job, is the acting head coach. And he was the first voice you heard there. And let's begin with the simple statement of fact that he, like many of you out there, don't understand what freedom of speech is. And not to sound like too much of whatever, but it's annoying that we're still having this conversation in 2023, because this is, I don't know, item number 604,000 that people have cited free speech over, that it does not apply to free speech. Free speech is not applicable to a t-shirt that you wear to a football practice. free speech involves you not going to jail because of the t-shirt you wore at football practice. It does not let you say without recourse, without any repercussions, anything you want, verbally, on a post, on a t-shirt. That's not how this works. It's not a free-for-all. And I would really expect better from David Braun. I don't expect him to come down hard on people inside his locker room. I'm not surprised he was defending people. I just thought I could have expected a better defense, one we still would have torn apart, but one that showed a little better grasp of facts and reality, because that's not censoring anybody's free speech by going, dude, that's a dumb shirt, go back inside. Because we all know, had somebody walked out with a shirt that said, Fitz sucked, he should have been fired, those people have been turned right back around, and those shirts would have been burned in a trash can behind the practice facility. There would have been no hesitation to censor that free speech. So give me a break, David Braun. I understand the frustration for those within the program, especially people who had nothing to do with this. If you arrived after all of this happened, if you're a player and you show up, this is not on you. I understand being angry that at least this season's compromised. You only have X amount of years to play or coach college football. I get the frustration in that. So, you know, in a very loose use of the term, like, there are victims, so to speak, on the football team right now, guys that had nothing to do with this, that bear no responsibility, that weren't on campus, employed at the time, like David Braun, when things went down, that are taking shrapnel from other people being terrible at their jobs and overseeing the program, apparently. So I get the frustration of that group of people, but they're not the most important people in this conversation. They don't get to wear snarky t-shirts. I also understand the confusion of learning something bad about somebody that you know well and respect and like. I know, in not to the same extent, but I know what that feels like. Years ago, I got to know a high school coach, and I think I can talk about this very generally because it's been a while now, and no one's going to, not that anybody would care to, but no one's going to connect any dots, but covering local sports here in the tri-state area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, I got to know a coach whose games we did often, and he seemed to be a, you know, tough-ish old school coach, no big deal, but then multiple players said it wasn't fun to be on his team, that it was too much, and it was too much. And it seems out of character. It didn't seem like the guy that we knew. Me and my partner and our crew who always kind of traveled together. And it was weird to, what do you do? And he lost his job. Like, what do you, obviously your first instinct is to trust the kids who are saying this and give them the benefit of the doubt. But like, this guy was like a pseudo friend. So what do you say? Is it true? Is it real? So I understand being in that moment now at Northwestern going, that's Coach Fitz didn't do this or didn't do that or whatever. So I get all of that. So I will give them some leeway here to be angry, frustrated, whatever. But to make t-shirts and then wear the t-shirts onto the practice field where you know other people are going to see them with cameras and pictures and video and whatnot is a terrible, terrible decision. And then David Braun, who's one of the people, by the way, who is an outsider. He was new as of January. He has nothing to do with what's going on, which is why he's the acting head coach, because there's no possible tarnish coming to him. Had you promoted a longer tenured staff member, then we find out that he knew something or ignored something, whatever, then now you're moving off a second guy. So David Braun gets this job as fill-in head coach because he's basically clean of the entire hazing scandal. And he came to run the defense. He didn't come to be the head coach in such a strenuous, now high-intensity, much looked at, much debated position. So I'm sure he's got a lot of anger stuff going on. But he's got to be better than that yesterday. That's not the defense. Not the defense of, I don't censor free speech, man. Guys can do whatever they want, which is nonsense. So thankfully, AD Derek Gregg came to the rescue, so to speak, although he's a guy that probably should lose his job too, since he hired oversaw Pat Fitzgerald. So if Fitzgerald is guilty of simply just not knowing what's going on in his program, then that's the same guilt that Derek Gregg gets. He also hired a baseball coach who they had to get rid of after like 18 months because that dude was a lunatic. So Derek Gregg probably is not the best voice for this, but at least somebody of power said those words you heard at the end of Cold Open, calling the t-shirts offensive and tone deaf because they are, because they just are. Again, a tiny sliver of understanding for the hard feelings for those inside the football program, but they're not the real people that we're concerned about here. They're not the folks that need sympathy, and they're not the folks that get to turn this into a rallying cry to play out this season while we figure out just how bad the football program and maybe the entire athletics department is at Northwestern.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
And Soundcheck is brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now and get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancial.group. WesleyFinancialGroup.com. Pardon me for that. So here we go in Soundcheck. The future of golf is a little unclear post-merger with LIV Golf, PG Tour and LIV Golf coming together. We don't know everything that will be in play once the merger is complete. We don't know what lawmakers might force them to do to satisfy laws and regulations of this type of move. All those things are in place. It's a murky future. There are plenty of things to figure out. One of the things that John Rahm, one of the best players in the world, would like figured out, Johnny needs more Johns on the course.
I can tell you right now, my priorities are a lot lower than what a lot of people would think. If I go by request, I know this is going to sound very stupid, but as simple as having a freaking porta potty on every hole, I know it sounds crazy, but I can't choose when I have to go to the bathroom, right? You know, I've told the tour this many times, as simple as that. Just simple little things better for the tour, right?
Toilets! Let the man go to the bathroom when he needs to go to the bathroom. When the rest of us play golf, you can just take a walk, find a tree, you got relative privacy, no big deal if there's no actual facility somewhere. But John Rahm, PGA Tour golfers, you can't do that. There's fans, there's cameras. You can't do that. You need actual bathrooms. I didn't know this was a problem, but now that I do, I'm on Team Rahm here. There's got to be a bathroom at the end of every hole as Pete shrugs. What's your problem now? Hold it?
Put a porta potty right at the 18th hole.
Well, I mean, most golf courses are like, you know, they're intertwined, so one hole ends and you walk to the next one, so you don't need 18 porta potties. You probably only need 9 or 10.
I'm sure.
And they can be well hidden, and then we problem solved.
I'm sure if he tells a wonderful security guard that I have to go to the bathroom, they can take him in a golf cart.
Incorrect.
And rush him right over because he is a star.
Incorrect. He can't just leave his place on the course during a round, even for a 3-minute bathroom break.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm saying he needs to control his bathroom schedule. If he knows he's golfing at a certain time, go before, and then you plan it out.
Right, don't have the gallon of water.
Okay. Yeah, don't drink fluids.
So a couple of things here. Sweet young Ryan, who still has all full control of bodily functions. Things change as you get older, young man. Someone should have told you this by now. When you get older, bathroom needs come sooner, quicker, more often.
Bring a bottle.
He's a diaper. He's a professional athlete. He's about to be out in the sun for 3 or 4 hours. He has to drink fluids before he does that to be in tip-top physical shape. So he can't go out there not having had water. So he's got to drink, which is going to lead to having to go number one. At least he's not asking for too much here, guys. Come on. If you got to go, you got to go. Put a porta potty at the end of every other hole, and we're done with this.
But what do you say about the commentators that call 3-hour football games or 3-hour baseball games, and they don't use the bathroom?
Because they have commercial breaks where they can run to the bathroom. They have a 2.5-minute break.
Maybe they don't have the opportunity to do that.
Because you know why? The bathroom is right outside their room because people know they're going to need it.
Well.
And that's John Rahm's point. They don't have to run down to the other concourse to pee with the regular people and go back upstairs.
Well, maybe they should have a rolling bathroom, one that's on like a cart.
That sounds like a porta potty without wheels.
Just where are you going to put the porta potty?
Underneath one of the grandstands or around a corner. It just sits there. That's the beauty of them. You carry them to the place you want to go, and you put them right there. They're done.
Imagine a messy porta potty amongst that group of fans.
No, it's not for fans. It's for players only. Players and officials only.
Well, not the fans then.
They have their own bathrooms. But John Rahm can't get online to go to the bathroom in between the 14th and 15th hole.
He should have to get online.
You guys are out of control right now.
It's not right.
What's not right?
It's not right. The fans should have the same luxury as John Rahm.
Yeah, no, actually, the fans have more luxury. You're missing his point. They get to go to the bathroom because the bathroom is right there. He needs help because he's in the middle of playing golf. They're there to watch him play golf.
He can't wait on a line then?
No.
Okay.
Have you ever seen golf before?
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
They don't get to just walk away and go, "I'll be back in 5 minutes, guys. Hold tight." They got to keep playing.
It should. Take a little walk. Take a little stroll.
I did not expect to get mad over this. I thought this was going to be a pleasant laugh moment.
I'm
and you guys are here telling John Rahm to hold it.
Hold it.
Or have an accident. Have
Let's
an oopsie.
Go.
Wear a
be
diaper.
A man.
Be a man. He's got to go with putt. And here's you. I'm on your side in previous bathroom conversations.
Thank you.
Pee where you want. Urinal stall. I don't care about lines. Who's waiting for what? You pee where you want to pee. John Rahm's asking for the same accommodations, and you go tough noogies.
Yeah.
Shame on you.
I mean, you could walk back. Come on.
Shame on you. You may remember, I think this was last week, DA spoke to the directors of a new batch of documentaries on Netflix under the Untold banner. And I think there are four total new ones being released. One of them is Johnny Manziel. It actually was released now finally this week. DA asked the directors about the Manziel one, and I believe their answer, I'm paraphrasing, was, "Your guess is as good as mine." We haven't seen that one yet. We just oversaw that one. So people now have seen it. Here's one of the stories. This is Johnny Manziel and his agent, Eric Burkhardt, from Untold Johnny Football on Netflix.
He calls me and he's like, "EB, like, how bad?"
I didn't remember much of the night. You know, I woke up in a hotel room and kind of didn't know how I got there.
Dude, I went to a party last night in the hills. He's like, "Man, everyone was there, man. All the rappers, all the actresses."
You know, I didn't know going into Indy if I was really going to be able to pass a drug test.
He's clean the whole time before then.
The only thing I had really been told was, "If you fail a drug test at the combine, you're going to go from a first-round pick to maybe undrafted."
They're going to drug test you day two here. He's like, "EB, I've been watching the NFL combine. I'm coming to the combine." I say, "No, you're not. We're not risking this." So we compromise. I call Paul and Michelle. I'm like, "Okay, you are checking yourself into the hospital, Paul, with like f-ing heavy heart so that Johnny can divert and come to the combine for 12 hours so that it doesn't look weird, and put him on a plane down to see Dad, who is in the hospital. I'm so sorry, but we'll reschedule these interviews." That was my strategy.
So that's Johnny Manziel trying to figure out how to skip a drug test. And I believe at some point it was, "Let's have Dad fake a heart attack." I think that's the bigger story here.
That's a good dad.
Is it, though?
It's good for your son, bad morally.
I mean, there's probably an argument that maybe Dad should have done something less drastic, less dramatic, to keep his son away from failing important drug tests, like, you know, years prior. I don't know that answer. In the moment, you want to help your kid, but I'm pretty sure faking a medical emergency so he avoids a drug test doesn't fix anything. Like, at that point, maybe you let him fail the drug test so he learns his lesson and he deals with the consequences of his actions. That's what I'm thinking.
You're missing out on millions of dollars, though.
Yeah, that's his fault. Tough love, man.
I'm really looking forward to watching that documentary.
Well, I'm glad that the people who made it have a chance to watch it now, because it is on Netflix. If you're watching at watchda.com or YouTube or even Twitch, you saw again the Pete and Andrew show going on. I don't even know what the clip actually sounded like between Manziel and Eric Burkhardt, because Pete and I are making jokes about the guest spot last week. where they had to double check if they did the Manziel documentary in the middle.
Hey, Lou, do we do that?
Is that us too? Oh, it, wait, yeah, it is, guys. It's Johnny. It's called Johnny Football. It's about Johnny Manziel. Oh, okay. How in depth does it go? I'm sure it does. You know, we got guys that ask good questions.
Talks about football.
Yeah, a lot of football. A&M, go Aggies, hook 'em. Nope, wrong Texas school. Oh, all right, okay. All right. Finally, here's our good friend Ross Tucker, has told many a great story on this program.
Bull Cannon.
But here is, we'll get to that too. Sit tight. Here's Ross on BetQL telling the story of how football stumbled upon the forward pass.
Literally, guys were dying. There were deaths. And there were outrage. There were calls to cancel the sport. But Teddy Roosevelt loved it. And he got together with the presidents of Princeton, Harvard, and Yale, who were like the three best teams back then, and was like, we got to do something here. And they had two ideas: to either widen the field so there was more space, or to allow them to throw the ball forward. Because until like 1908, you couldn't throw the ball forward. And Harvard had just poured the concrete on Harvard Stadium, the first concrete stadium in the country. And the Harvard president was like, yo, bro, we can't make the field wider. We just poured the concrete. Like, we have this stadium. The field can't go wider. So they're like, okay, forward pass. That's when the forward pass was invented, because Harvard had the first concrete stadium.
For more on this story, we welcome in now the voice of the Harvard Crimson back in 1907, Jody McDonald, who remembers the pouring of said concrete.
He was about to retire.
But I'm going to stay for the forward pass. He was on his way out. It was too gruesome for a middle-aged Jody at the turn of the century. I can't do this anymore. Then they introduced the forward pass. Jody stuck to football. And fast forward, I don't know, 116 years later, and he's still going strong.
And I love how Harvard president relates to all of us by saying, yo, bro.
Yo, bro. Teddy Rowe, I got a quick question for you.
Hey, T. Rowe.
Yeah, we're big football fans up here in Harvard. Could you maybe not kill the sport? Big thanks. XOXO.
LOL.
I don't know how Ross got onto that. I knew Teddy Roosevelt was involved in the early stages of vicious, death-defying football. But of course, Ross knows that. And of course, Ross shared it as only Ross could. That's why he's one of our favorites.
I'd rather that documentary than the Manziel.
Okay. The guys from Netflix might have done that one, too. They don't know it yet.
Right.
But that might be under their umbrella.
In the works.
Yeah. Sure. We'll take credit for that as well. You guys let me know what you think once you watch it. Because we haven't yet.
14.3 Jackalone.
And then Ross says, as Pete referenced, nobody. Nobody has pushed more product on these airwaves than one Ross Tucker. Between the Ball Cannon and what's the new one now? Why can't not My First Diary? What is it called?
Like an advertisement for your wife or something?
It's you know, you get like a newspaper article headline for someone you love.
Fake newspaper article.
Myfrontpagestory.com.
Right. Hey,
you're
babe.
Welcome again.
Exactly.
Ross is the best. All right, that's it for Soundcheck. Before we go any further, a quick apology from me, and I guess an early booski, not my official one, but a quick toast to the one and only Andrew Kaplan. I believe I hit a nerve yesterday, both on this show and on the PGP, referencing how much stress creating the headlines for these segments puts on me. So I got a text yesterday from Cap saying, you don't need to do it anymore. I'll be fine if it's too much work. And I said, ha, ha, ha. He's like, I'll just have ChatGPT do it.
Was he laying in bed when he did that?
So I said, shut up, Cap. But good idea. Maybe I'll just do that. Cut in my laziness. He said, actually, it's actually a strange amount of work to get ChatGPT to do these things. So that wouldn't help your cause. If I offended Cap in any way yesterday by complaining about having to come on with catchy titles, there's nothing to do with Cap. Those titles are necessary because the stream's amazing because of Cap. And the last thing I want to do is make Cap feel like he's imposing or whatever the actual word would be on me.
What are you apologizing to him for?
I don't like when people are upset. I hope I didn't insult him.
He's at home all week.
No, I just saw him. Now, he didn't say anything to me, which is why it reminded me to apologize. I said, hey, Cap, I just kept walking. So I don't want Cap to feel bad, to think that I'm thinking bad things about him. It's not. It's me. It's lazy. It's uncreative. And I didn't mention this before all this other stuff yesterday. The goal for me, when I think of these titles for the segments and I send the email out, I'm hoping that I get the ultimate compliment, which is a Cap response of, that's a good one. And I got that yesterday with Eric the Enemy instead of Eric B. Enemy. And what did I do? I didn't thank Cap on the air, didn't mention it. Instead, I said that the headlines are too stressful for me and I hate doing them. Not a nice person. So
well,
I'm sorry, Cap.
Well, don't worry about today. Your headlines aren't great today.
They're not. No. I know. I punted on Thursday. I'm saving it for tomorrow. We're going to finish strong. Do I like any of them today?
I blue collar is not bad.
That's a little bit of a reference to the show, right?
Inside
reference. Yeah, you're new. You don't get it. All right?
Well,
Ryan Botcher 4. Do you?
Yeah, you said hard hat, blue collar.
Yeah.
Ryan Botcher 2 gets it.
Of course he does. Of course he does. Maybe we didn't get the right one, Pete. We went too far down the list.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're toasting to the good life.
I feel alive.
We are feeling good and doing well.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
It's the DA Show's Thirsty Thursday.
Celebrating with some booskies.
All right, here we go. Fridge door open, cooler open. Get out the booski, raise your glass. It's time to toast the things that are making us happy, making us proud here on this Thursday. On the DA Show, Bogish, Bilotti, Botcher, Schwartz, we're all here with you. Keep your booskies coming at CBS Sports Radio, at Andrew Bogish, or at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Just like on Trash Tuesday, Peter Schwartz leads us off. Schwartzy, who are you toasting?
It doesn't matter who we are. What matters is our plan.
Okay, that's odd, but we'll toast him. Booskies.
Hashtag toast him.
Booskies.
Ryan Botcher, who's getting a lot of toasts and booskies on Twitter for his work so far this week. Who are you toasting today?
The little girl that tried to sell me lemonade after I left the subway. I respect the grind. I did not buy it, but I respect the effort of trying to sell lemonade on the street.
This was in Queens and where?
Forest Hills.
In Forest Hills, okay. She's a lemonade stand.
By herself. Like 10 years old. No parents.
Well, that's a problem.
I'm not going to question it. She had a cup. I said, no, thank you. And then she didn't chase me down, so it's okay.
So you appreciated her asking, but not enough to give her 50 cents.
She didn't say the price.
Okay.
She creepily walked up to me and said, would you like a cup of lemonade? I said, no, thank you.
It sounds like you were right to walk away. Maybe you should have run away. She creepily walked up to you, no parent, and she's pushing lemonade on you?
And it's like a white table, and like it was like one pitcher of things and two cups.
Yeah, no, you made the good choice. At first, I thought you should have given her something. You were right to leave immediately.
But I respect it, though.
I think you should be afraid of it.
What?
Oh, you're looking at me?
Yes, I'm looking at you.
There's something off about this.
How?
Not enough cups, no parental supervision.
Yeah, it's a kid.
Yeah. She should have a parent watching her.
12 o'clock on a Wednesday?
Yeah. I mean, it's summertime. It's no school.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Mom sends her out. Get out of the house. Mom needs her alone time. Take your lemonade pitcher and two cups. See what happens.
All right, here comes the mailman.
Hey, Pete, who are you toasting?
Booskies.
I am toasting the deli right around the corner from this studio.
Okay.
They are new, and they make great food. They make great lunch. I have a good grilled chicken sandwich usually every so often.
Okay.
Around the corner. Very friendly people. No rats, and we love it. I am toasting them.
Booskies.
Hashtag toast them.
Have you figured out how to scam them yet, like the previous deli, and you sneaking your food off of the scale?
Relax about scam. I put it on the scale, and they have to figure it all out after that.
Okay.
That's on them. Not like I put a quarter underneath it.
It's on them.
Yeah, it is on them. It's their business.
Now, the name of this new place is not brief. It's like Hudson Square Healthy Food Court Deluxe.
With the phone number, I think, in the title.
There's a lot going on. It's not just called Ted's Deli.
Right.
So, like, just figuring what the name is toast to itself. But you're right in that it's a great place. We needed it. And the one that we had been going to that is a little dirty, is a little expensive. It also is a hotbed for charging the batteries for e-bikes, which are now, I mean, they're basically on fire to begin with, right?
Really?
I mean, how many stories here in New York are about buildings and apartments having fires?
That's right.
If you walk in the back of that place, it actually looks like the boxes the Ghostbusters use to trap the a proton pack. They're just sitting there on the floor, and there's like 80 of them plugged into one power strip.
There's a lot of boxes that have gotten even more dirty, too.
I mean, they're tripling down on the fire hazard.
The rats gnawing on the wires.
They're just living in there. So you're right. We could not go in there anymore. We needed a new just straight deli, and thankfully we got it from the Hudson Square Healthy Food Court Deluxe Embassy Suites.
555-5555.
Brought to you by Marriott. All right. So a very quick booski, although she wouldn't drink it, to my mom. Mama Bogish, who's an avid listener to the show up until I think 9 o'clock when she goes into her office. It's her birthday today.
Booskies.
So happy birthday to my mom. Going to see her this weekend and all next week on the Jersey Shore. Can't wait for that. She's not getting a present today because we're going to see her on Saturday. So that's when the actual birthday celebration begins.
Okay.
But my official toast today is to Declan Cronin of the Chicago White Sox. Now, the White Sox, deservedly so, have been the butt of many jokes this week. I hope that Declan has not fallen prey to their crappy chemistry at the moment. But Declan recently made his big league debut. He has now made 3 appearances for the Chicago White Sox. And I'm toasting him because he went to my high school long after I did. And he is the first professional based big leaguer from my high school. The history of my school. Now, as I mentioned my high school name, Regis, on the PGP yesterday, most of you, that will mean nothing to you. It is a small all-boys school here in Manhattan. You need to take a test to get in. It has produced many fancy people, not me included, but usually it's non-athletes, or it's people who work around athletes. John Shombe, voice of the Cubs, went to my high school. Steve Hurt, who was the head of the Elias Sports Bureau for forever. If you follow sports, watch Monday Night Football, you know that name. Maybe you know his face. He went to my high school. I think Gene Orza, who was a big shot at the MLB Union at one point, went to my high school. I couldn't confirm that. We don't create athletes. We create people who cover athletes because we're normally nerdy dudes that look like me. But now we've got a big leaguer. Love it for Regis Baseball, for which I played 3 seasons. So, booskies to the program and booskies to Declan Cronin.
Booskies!
All right, last but not least, Peter Schwartz, who are you toasting this week?
I'm going to toast the fine people of Cleveland Independence in Canton, Ohio, for being gracious, wonderful hosts last week when my family and I were in the area for the Hall of Fame festivities. Just a wonderful place to go to visit. Nice people. You know, great places to go to see other than the football stuff, too. So I'm going to toast the great people in Ohio.
Hashtag toast them.
I don't think we asked you this on Tuesday. On Friday's show last week, we noticed through social media that you and the family were in Canton.
Yep.
And we were wondering if you were going to be capable of talking your way into the Joe Klecko official Hall of Fame party. Was there a party, and did you get into it?
There was a party. I was not invited, did not attempt to get into it.
Okay. I think we're proud of you for that.
Yeah. That would have been Saturday night.
Right. After
the inductions, yeah, we hung around the village a little bit. It took part in some of the fan activities, and then we were staying in Independence, Ohio, which was about 45, 50 minutes away from Canton.
Oh, wow.
Right near Cleveland.
Okay.
Yeah, getting a hotel room for the Hall of Fame weekend is not easy.
Right.
And then we went out to dinner and crashed and woke up the next morning, went to the hall, and then came home.
Okay. All right. We thought you might have pulled your Schwartz magic and got yourself into a fancy party.
No, didn't even try.
Okay. All right. Still respect the hustle. And it looked like a great weekend.
Had we gone when Kevin Mawai went into the Hall of Fame a few years ago,
you would have been in?
I probably would have been invited without asking.
Gotcha. Okay. If we can talk Tiki to get into the Hall of Fame,
I would go to that.
Could we get ourselves into the party?
I'm sure. But it might be a select group.
It's not everybody, but I've known Tiki for a long time. If we were like, hey, Tiki, we're going, I think he'd say, you got to come to the party.
Yeah, known him for 10 years.
Right. He would have gotten us into Rondé's party.
He would have.
Because he's a nice person.
I think so.
You know what he doesn't do, Pete? He doesn't steal bits.
That's right.
He knows the rules. He's respectful of other shows. His colleagues, not so much. I can confirm to you now, Booskies to this, we are prepared as a news organization to cover this story now correctly. We will do that in our next segment.
Booskies!
Thirsty Thursday continues. Steve in Severna Park. Good morning, AB. I'm toasting summertime and the little we have left. Even though Moist Pork disagrees, there's nothing better than trying to spend all my free time in flip-flops. Booskies. Hashtag Thirsty Thursday.
Hashtag toast 'em.
Booskies!
SparksGang_330. What's up, fellas? I'm toasting to having our first football scrimmage today. Our boys are ready, and I feel bad for that team across the ball. Hashtag that's what's in. Hashtag Raiders versus everybody. Hashtag Thursday Thursday.
Booskies.
Hashtag toast 'em.
Jeremy from Comics Crossing. Since I trashed Pete this week, it's only fair I toast him now for his Cagney-esque Jody Mac 30s-style gangster voice. It cracks me up. Hashtag top of the world. Hashtag Booskies.
Booskies.
Oh, thank you.
That's true. That is one of my favorite recurring bits, characters that Pete does that will never not make me laugh. And I can't wait to hear them do it next Tuesday on The Fan.
The what? The Big Apple, right?
That too, yeah. Good morning, Mothership. Today I raise a glass to my good man, Andrew Bogish. Got his hands on the 10-2, steadily steering the Mothership for all us, the aliens. Great job this week to the whole crew. Thank you, guys. That's from Kyle, by the way, our good friend Kyle. Thank you for all the tweets to me, to about the entire crew. We are certainly having fun, and we appreciate the chance to get you guys through this week until DA is back in the chair next Monday through Thursday, because there's a Friday next week, and it's a summer Friday. Yay.
Who's gonna
be here next Friday? Because I'm on vacation and there's no DA. Who's hosting that day?
No, I'm anchoring.
Okay.
I'm in this chair.
I don't know who's hosting yet. I have to check.
For a guy that makes the schedules, there are often times where you don't know what's on the schedule.
There's certain schedules I don't make.
That's one of them?
That is one of them.
Could that be a Boyle-led expedition next Friday?
That could be. That would be the spot to do it.
Right? Maybe. And now, if Schwartz is here, that means Caserta's not. So it's not a Boyle-Caserta doubleheader. But it could just be in charge.
It could be a Caserta-led.
It could be that. You're right. It could be Caserta first.
Right.
Shame on me for not thinking about that.
I would say it's either Caserta or Pat Boyle.
And why would you know? You're not the scheduling guy.
I don't schedule that part.
Rob in the 321, never hear from him. Toasting to this beautiful girl and a picture of him and his daughter on the first day of fifth grade. Braces off. It's going to be a great school year. Hashtag Mooskies.
Mooskies.
I got to be honest, man. I'm a New Yorker my entire life. I cannot accept still on year 43 of my existence school starting now.
Crazy.
I don't get it.
September thing for me.
I guess it's cool that you're done in May and we go here in this area into June, sometimes basically all the way through June. But I don't understand going to non-college pre-Labor Day. And then they're throwing even bigger curveballs. I've got friends in North Carolina that they go to school all year round, and they're just like random 4 or 5 week breaks here and there. I don't know when the school year starts. I don't know when you become a fifth grader after you're being a fourth grader, but like they were visiting recently because they're just on their break, but now they're back in school now, and they'll have a break again at the end of September. No thanks on that either.
That's torture.
What are we doing?
It's torture.
Ridiculous.
That one I don't get even more so. The way we do it correctly, New York bias, whatever, we do it right. Labor Day to into June, that's it. That's the school year. You're not following that calendar, you're following the wrong calendar.
I agree with that.
Thanks. That should have been my Trash Tuesday.
Well, it's Thirsty Thursday.
But if you're a kid and you're going back to school, best of luck in school. And again, if this show has taught you nothing else, pay attention in school.
Right. Learn.
Learn things. Remember them. Write them down. Keep them in those tiny, sweet brains of yours.
Go to class.
Pay attention to your teachers. Take the tests. Move along at the correct schedule. Don't spend extra time in places. Right. One lunch is plenty. You can do this. Then you can get a real job that has real money and no nicknames. And you don't have to eat spicy things because you lost a bet.
Or steal.
There's also that, yes. Yeah. And I just, speaking too, I just remembered, the namesake still owes me beers. Speaking of bets and losses and whatever.
That.
Yeah. He brought some to Bob's Bar to satisfy half of his debt. But I don't know where the other half is. And the dude who left the show also owes me some beers. I'm not going to win things regularly. But when I do win, I want to get paid. And I just remember that I haven't gotten paid.
I think you should storm that show today.
Yeah. So, Pete, tell everybody how fast I leave this building when I'm filling in for DA.
I think the clothes is rolling.
Yeah. I mean, if you're watching, I'm packing up as we're playing the epic fail. There are times where I'm outside the building before 10 a.m.
So, Kenny Chesney wrote a song about it. It's called Don't Blink.
Yeah, I'm gone. So,
we'll see you tomorrow night.
I'm storming nothing at 2 p.m. in Manhattan. By 2 p.m., I've been home for 3 hours, napping at lunch. I'm not coming back to you bring me the beers you owe me. You storm this show with your debt and
that
pay
is,
it off.
You're right. You're actually right about that because, yeah, they should be delivering it to you with interest.
Yeah, and you know what? I brought it up as we were in the countdown phase. I said we need to square away all bets. Everything needs to get paid up, in particular the beers I'm owed. And I've gotten zero.
I would say you need to talk to the head of this show.
You know what?
When everyone's back together, which will be in about 6 months from now.
How about this schedule, guy?
Yes.
I'm not coming in tomorrow unless I have some kind of signed paperwork and a confirmed delivery date. Would that go over well?
I can't even answer that question.
Folks, it is time to get started.
It doesn't take much to surprise this bouncing baby boy.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
The DA show is stunned to a news.
Well, now we like to continue these animal stories. I like to do them when I fill in here on Stun. And here's another one. Hank the Tank, a bear behind 21 home invasions, has been captured near Lake Tahoe. A large black bear known...
Did you say 21?
21 home invasions.
Easy, Hank.
That's a lot.
Hank wow. is after it. A large black bear known as 64F was captured by state authorities in the area around Lake Tahoe, California, this past Friday after being responsible for at least 21 home break-ins. This is according to California Department of Fish and Wildfire. A large black bear who is believed to be a notorious bandit and a hungry, uninvited house guest was apprehended by wildlife biologists on Friday. Authorities in the town of South Lake Tahoe, California, have been on the lookout for exceptionally large animals since February 2022 after they reported that one single male bear had been the cause of 152 reports of conflict behavior, including 28 home break-ins. They referred to the animal as Hank the Tank, setting off the internet's affection. It seemed to me, you know, a bear is not like a small little object. You would think 21 right? invasions, like, they'd be on the lookout for this guy and be able to apprehend him a little faster.
Well, what I don't understand is, if you didn't catch him in somebody's living room, how do we know that this bear is the bear they're looking for? Are they doing...
Maybe he left evidence.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are they doing, like, are they...
A DNA test
out of, like, droppings on the scene of the crime? Is he leaving paw prints somewhere?
Doritos on the floor.
DNA testing confirmed that the bear captured...
Was he turning the faucets on and leaving?
With Dan's
Mom,
DNA testing confirmed that the bear capture on Friday, who is formerly known as Bear 64F, was a female behind at least 21 cases of breaking and entering. What's more, she was trespassing with three young cubs in tow, according to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Wow.
So,
wait, hold on, I'm sorry. You heard that too, Botch?
Yeah.
You were calling it Hank, but it's a she?
Yeah, that's what they named it. They found out it was a she. But the fun name for the bear is Hank the Tank. But
so
they
it
found
Hank...
out it's a female.
Oh,
is a
all right.
female.
Okay. That makes a little
the
more sense.
The nickname for the bear was Hank the Tank, but it is a female bear.
But we didn't know the gender, so we assumed it was a male bear, because only male bears would break into houses. But lo and behold, it was a chick bear.
Yeah, with three male cubs as the accomplices. Mm. Who tagged along on several break-ins. They'll also be relocated and rehabilitated, and there are hopes that one day they can be returned to the wild if they can behave themselves.
You know, I'm insulted by this. Men suck in general. I get it. But they're still, like, innocent until proven guilty here. Why would you just assume, as you're investigating this string of bear break-ins, why would you just assume that it had to be a male bear? So you call it Hank the Tank.
Yeah.
And Hank? That's a terrible name.
But, I mean, it's not a, at least for me, it's not a bad name for a male bear. But
could have been Liz the Wiz.
Could it have been?
Could it? No.
I don't know.
Got through 21 break-ins, a wizard.
Oh, okay. All right.
Never thought I'd hear that.
See where you're going there. I think that's lazy police work, that you're just going to assume it's a male bear doing all these break-ins, call it Hank, and then, ha-ha, it's a lady. They can do wrong. Despite what they tell you, they can make mistakes.
21 different break-ins.
There's also some blame being put on the homeowners. A veterinarian who works with a local non-for-profit bear league says...
Blame them.
It's instinctual for bears to search the landscape for food. That makes the responsibility of the residents, the human ones, to maintain a bear-safe community. Securing garbage is huge. Bear-proof containers work. Now, have you ever gone to Home Depot or Lowe's? I need a bear-proof garbage can.
My guess is our Lowe's and Home Depot's on Long Island don't sell them because we don't have bear problems yet. But they probably are in Lake Tahoe. But unless the homeowners have a honey moat and unlock doors, it's not their fault that bears are showing up.
Bear caused $80,000 worth of damage, but it's my fault.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you build your house in the bear den, that's an issue too, but... All right, so the bottom line is...
By the way, one of the bears ate a 2-gallon tub of ice cream from her neighbor's trash can.
Of course it did.
Yeah. There's ice cream. Who throws out a tub of ice cream?
Well, if it's expired.
It would melt.
He gets there quick. Or she, excuse me. All right, so gender issues aside, they've caught the bear.
They've caught. The suspect has been apprehended along with the accomplices.
So everyone in South Lake Tahoe can now rest easy.
Yes.
That's the
assumption. And go on with their lives.
Unless we get a copy bear robber that follows in the footsteps of not Hank the Tank.
What? That story's remarkable.
And this just happened, right?
Last week.
Okay. Surprised we didn't hear it earlier in the week. It's almost a full week to get to us.
That's 21.
I found it on a different website than I normally...
Gotcha.
I did not care for the story that the one I normally use. I did not care for the story that...
Okay.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the DA
show.
Welcome back to the DA show on this Thursday. I know, generally speaking, what was said yesterday locally here in you-know-where, but now the full transcript, courtesy of Pete's right finger.
New bit for the show. Sean is finally going to take his SATs. We will do that once the school season starts. I don't have a lot of faith. You're basically going to be like Costanza. You're going to be handing the test outside the window to somebody.
We may or may not have done that bit on another show I worked with. But either way, I did that after.
And you did a really good job on those SATs, if I remember.
In front of Oliver Luck. But anyway, no, the audience doesn't care about that. Point is, you can't call out Aaron Rodgers for not graduating college, or I'm certainly not, because it took me a long time.
I don't know where to begin. I mean, come on. And you know, the sad thing for me is that first voice is Tommy Lugauer, the one suggesting Sean takes the SAT.
And he's probably dumber than the other guy.
I can't speak to that, but I can say that he's actually been the one coming to us going, I can't believe this guy.
You want him back.
Right. Keep a seat open, keep the receipts. This isn't going to last long. Lugauer was the one beforehand, trepidation, concern. I don't want to deal with this. Now he's stealing bits and saying, oh, it doesn't matter. No one heard the first one. Guess what? A lot of people heard the first one. And the lady who was involved with the first one just happily came back on the show to say goodbye to Sean because that moment was so spectacularly important to her as well. Enough of this. I get it. Maybe I would say the same thing if I was them. I hope not, but I probably would. It's such a low, easy target, low-hanging fruit joke. Well, no one was listening.
It's garbage.
We got a lot of listeners. Not as much as them. I freely admit that, but that's the way national versus local radio goes. But we've got people all across this country who love that bit, love that show, heard it, remember it, and we should all be insulted right now. And they got to be better down there. Like, this is the thing, right? They didn't want Sean. They didn't want Mraz. They wanted Sean Morash. But they're on, like, show 11, and they're already going down the well like that. They're already making Sean take an SAT.
Not the first time, too.
How about have a giant jet take? How about you crush the Mets or the Yankees?
Get some original drops instead of stealing ours.
Yeah, we leave Mirage behind. Just bring all the bits we already mastered over here. Come on, guys. We deserve, and even Sean deserves better than that. Brett McMurphy, Action Network, when we come back on CBS Sports Radio.
Analytics is just a term that's kind of thrown around a lot.
It's time now for the mothership's advanced analytics.
Today's poll question came off of Miles Jack, NFL player, who's got plenty of money in the bank, saying that before he signed with the Eagles, he was considering being an electrician or a plumber because he just couldn't sit at home and do nothing despite said money in the bank. So we asked, if you didn't need a paycheck, would you still work? And I'll be honest, I'm surprised by the breakdown here. You didn't win, but more of you said yes than I thought. 36% of over 100 voters said yes, they would still work even if they didn't need the paycheck. Now, I guess if you combine the other two, it's a little bit of a rout. Just straight no at 43% of the responses. Then another 21, including myself, said definitely not, no chance. So I'm with you on that front. Now, if you would have won the recent Mega Millions jackpot before taxes, you could have bought 3.5 Georgia aquariums. So that's cool. About 50.5 million people quit their jobs in 2022. Rod Stewart quit his job as a grave digger to pursue his music career.
Worked out well.
And you would only need to win the previous $1.5 billion Mega Millions three times to afford an NFL team. Those, your advanced analytics. Now your epic fail. Of course, it is the stun to a news double that we got today from Peter Schwartz.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Well, now we like to continue these animal stories. I like to do them when I fill in here on Stun. And here's another one. Hank the Tank, bear behind 21 home invasions, has been captured near Lake Tahoe.
A 400-pound black bear known as Hank the Tank was captured on Friday with her three cubs by California wildlife authorities.
A large black bear known as 64F was captured by state authorities in the area around Lake Tahoe, California, this past Friday after being responsible for at least 21 home break-ins. This
is
according
goodness.
To California Department of Fish and Wildfire.
Hank the Tank is apparently responsible for at least 21 home break-ins, officials said. And she is being shot and skinned for her fur later this week.
Well, what I don't understand is, if you didn't catch him in somebody's living room, how do we know that this bear is the bear they're looking for? Are they doing...
Maybe he left evidence.
Apparently, they traced the bear DNA from these home break-ins back to her. But hold on.
Hold on.
Hank is actually one of three bears responsible for the rummaging and ransacking incidents that took place mostly last year.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Are they doing, like, are they...
A DNA test
out of, like, droppings on the scene of the crime? Is he leaving paw prints somewhere?
Doritos on the floor.
DNA testing confirmed the bear
Was he turning the faucets on and leaving?
DNA testing confirmed that the bear captured on Friday, who is formerly known as Bear 64F, was a female behind at least 21 cases of breaking and entering. What's more, she was trespassing with three young cubs in tow, according to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Wow.
So,
wait, hold on, I'm sorry.
It's a...
You heard that too, Botcher?
Yeah.
You were calling it Hank, but it's a she?
Yeah, that's what they named it. They found out it was a she.
These bears, they were ripping off screen doors and parts of garage doors, rummaging through garbage, scratching cars, and one ripped off the siding of one house in a possible attempt to enter the house.
Wow, like the Kool-Aid man? They're just running through walls now?
The suspect has been apprehended along with the accomplices.
So... everyone in South Lake Tahoe can now rest easy.
Yes,
that's
go on with their lives.
Unless we get a copy bear robber that follows in the footsteps of not Hank the Tank.
What? That story's remarkable.
And this just happened, right?
Last week.
Surprised we didn't hear it earlier in the week.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Schwartzy, and great editing by Ryan Botcher. That was Boyle on Monday, Schwartzy on Thursday, unknowingly delivering the same story. I mean, I guess we could have some kind of stun to a news database for any Finland anchor to know what has come up in previous days or weeks, but we don't, and this is what happens. And now when I also send my stuns to the group...
But he usually asks.
Right.
He did not ask today.
Whoops.
And do you think he knows now that he had a double story?
No, he does not. As evidenced by other things, he is not listening to this show when he's not in the room. Because he hasn't also heard us throw to him to start Trash Tuesday or Thirsty Thursday when he wasn't here.
Then he did the Thirsty Thursday anyway.
Yes. And I don't know, thank you or not to the folks who... told us that we had done this already. I don't know if you think that Pete and I are dumb or good actors, so I don't know if it's a thank you thing or a WTF thing, but I was going to come in immediately and drop the hammer, and Pete said, no, let it go, pretend like we never heard this before, and that was the correct play. So one last booski to Pete for that. And now we're going to go home and enjoy the rest of your Thursday. Huge thanks to Brett McMurphy, to Lisa Carlin, to you listening and watching, to Pete, to Botcher number 4, to the other Pete, and again to you. Have a great day. Enjoy your Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow back here to close out the week. But for now,
Bogus is in the car.
The mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.